Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
Let it be, amen. All right, please open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Today I'm talking and preaching on what I titled, How the Holy Spirit Leads. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me very clearly?
Yes, sir.
Uncle Joe, please, can you give me a little bit more sound so I can hear myself? Jeremiah 10, verse 23. I don't have my reader in the house tonight. Who's going to help me? Where's she? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. What does it say? Help me. Oh, Lord.
I know that the way of man is not in himself.
I know that the way of man is not in himself.
It is not in man.
It is not in man
that walketh to direct his steps.
That walketh
to direct his steps.
To direct himself. The Bible says it is not in man that walks to direct himself. What does the first line say? First line. Oh Lord,
I know that the way of man
is not where?
In himself.
So the way when God made man, he didn't put in man a technology to know his own way. God created man to depend on God for direction. The Bible says, I know that it is not in man that walks to direct his own step, to direct his own path. No matter how deep, no matter how matured, no matter how developed, no matter how knowledgeable a man is not made to know his own way. A man is not made to know his own way in marriage. A man is not made to know his own way in his career. Anybody can make any decision. The Bible says it is not in man that walks to know his own way. Give me Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs. Okay, let's have NLT for that. Do you have NLT for that citation? Jeremiah chapter 10? NLT. Then let's have Amplified. Jeremiah 10, 23, NLT. What does NLT say?
I know, Lord. So are not our own.
Our lives are not our own.
We are not able to plan our own course.
We are not able to plan our own course. We don't have the ability to. He didn't say we don't have the intention to. He says we don't have the ability to. Even if we want to, we cannot plan our own course. What does Amplified say? Give me Amplified.
Oh Lord, I know that the path of open bracket life of a man is not in himself.
A life of a man is not in himself, yes.
It is not within open bracket the limited ability.
The Bible causes the limited ability of
man, even one at his best.
The man that is at his best. Are you seeing the scripture? The most intelligent man, the most sharp man, sharpest knife in the cupboard, sharpest knife in the drawer, the most intelligent man at his best, yes,
to choose and direct his steps
in life. Man cannot choose himself. That is why this is extremely important. What I want to teach you tonight is one of the most important things you need to learn as a believer. If I wouldn't say the most important. We live in a dark world. We live in a gloomy dark world. So this, being able to know your path through this puzzle is one of the most important things you need to learn as a believer. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, King James. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5.
Trust in the Lord.
To verse 6. Bible says trust. Read through.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yes.
And lean not in thine own understanding.
Yes.
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Yes.
And he shall direct thy path.
Yes. The Bible says trust. So it starts with trust. It says trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. You see, the first challenge is the challenge of trust. Do you trust God? Do you trust that God knows what he's doing? You see, I want to let you know what I'm talking about, because some of us, we may say, I trust you Lord, but somewhere in our heart we think that this thing is better in my hands than in the hands of God. The choice of who to marry, the choice of whether to jackpa or not to jackpa. I think if I, you know, Yoruba people have a proverb. Yoruba says, "Igba ojo da bi jo eni," that if I have 200 eyes to check something, it's not like when I go and check it by myself. There's a tendency for us to have trust issues with God. Do you trust that God knows more than you know? I put here, do you trust that He is good at what He is doing? Do you trust that He knows what He's doing? It's a lot of trust to take your life and put it in the hands of God. A lot of us who are very energetic, some of us are mental preference, you know, because of our capacity. Maybe you are a choleric, or you are someone who's very active. There's a tendency for you to want to take charge. And so you snatch your life out of the hands of God. Because something is telling you that if this thing is in your hands, you will do better with it than with God. We may say, no, never, that's not me. But that is how we behave. If God says, sit here, time is going. When God says, my time, your times are in my hands, I know what I'm doing. You're already clocking 27. You don't have a husband yet. Time is going. Do you trust God that He knows what He wants to do with your life? So that is where the real issue starts from. He says, trust God with what? All your heart, not part of your heart. You see, with trust comes rest. With trust comes rest. You see, when you trust God, you are resting in Him. You know that God will come through like He said He would. You know that God will give you peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3, it says He would keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him because he trusted in Him. He will keep in perfect peace. You see, when your heart is not at peace, it's an indication that you don't have trust in God. I've been in cars, but I don't trust the person. My wife and I were coming from we went to Lagos. We went on that road trip we went to in Lagos, and we're coming back, and this guy said he knows the way, but he started driving. He was driving, and we fell asleep. When we fell asleep and we woke up, oh my God, we were far away from our route. When I jacked, I said, where are we? You know, was first pretending. I said, no, I've not seen this kind of place before. I don't know this area. Where are you? Park. Let's ask somebody. The person said, where are you going? We said, we're going back to Abuja. Abuja. People are very far from Abuja. You have to go back. Apparently, we are driven almost 1.5 hours away from the route. You see, when we turn back, were we able to sleep again? No. Why are we not able to sleep again? Because now we have to drive this thing together. We had lost trust in Him. With trust, we come rest. Some of us, when we are flying a plane, or we are in a plane, we are able to sleep. For those of us who don't have flight issues, some cannot sleep. We sleep off because we know, we think and we believe that the pilot knows what he's doing. If you enter and the pilot says, well, today's my first time. Yesterday I was in an anointing service, and the pastors lay hands on me and said, today I ordained you a pilot and I'm going to put my faith to work. He said, no, with my life. You can't trust Him. You can't rest. When you trust God, you rest. When you trust God, you rest over the decisions of your life, over the decisions of the progress of your life. You rest in Him. People may be doing all kinds of things. Your rest is in God. The Bible says, like I said, 26, Isaiah 26 verse 3, it says you keep in perfect peace. It says trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does it say next? Help me know. Same chapter, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. What does it say? King James. Keep your hands on Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Yes. It says lean not on your understanding. Did you see that? Please, can you help me with Dumas' mic?
Trust in the Lord.
Yes.
With all thine heart.
Yes.
And lean not into thine own understanding.
The Bible says not to lean on your own understanding. You see, the Bible does not say that you don't have understanding. The Bible agrees that you have understanding. But it says, do not lean on your understanding. Because God sees more than you do. God knows more than you do. God sees farther than you can see. Can you know what I say next?
In all thy ways.
In all your ways. Acknowledge. In all your ways. How many of your ways?
All
your ways, he says. Not the toughest part of your ways. Not the most serious part of your ways. He says, all your ways. Don't imagine that you can undo some of your ways by yourself. And then only release the ones you consider serious to God. All your ways. He says, acknowledge it. To acknowledge it means to get him involved in it. Get him involved in it. All your ways, acknowledge God. I always think about marriage because most of us are young people and we're that part of our lives right now. Acknowledge him in your ways, in your decision to travel abroad. Acknowledge God. In who you want to marry, do not lean on your understanding. There's more than meets the eyes. There's more. There's more. Somebody say, there's more. Trust me, there's more. You think you know everything? He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. If you do that, he said, he will direct your paths. If God directs your path, do you know where you're going to wind up in? If God is the one directing you, you know you're going to wind up in a place of victory, don't you? You're going to wind up in a place of prosperity. If God is the one in charge of your car, do you think that God can drive your car and you have an accident with it? Absolutely not. But it starts first with trust. You see, trust is my first point. Most of us know that God is good. We just don't trust him enough. Somewhere in our head, we think, I think I need to undo this thing myself. I need to do this thing myself. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Do more. 14 to 15. For as many
as are led by the Spirit of God,
that are led by the Spirit of God,
they are the sons of God.
They are the sons of God. Verse 15.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Please follow me closely. For as many that are led, is that what it says?
Yes, sir.
As many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not as many that are led by prophets. The sons of God must expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Not as many that are led by prophecy. It says, you have not received the spirit of fear again to enter into bondage, because fear leads. You can choose to be led by God or by fear. Fear leads. So people are staying back where they are today because of fear. Fear tells people what to do. People can stay back at places of work. People can stay back at in a relationship. People can stay back in a place that God wants to lead them out of because of fear. Fear is a terrible leader. And I'll tell you why. There are people today who are in relationships where they are being physically abused. But why don't they leave? They will tell you that, where will you see husband? Where will somebody see husband? Where is husband? Men are finished upon the earth. Eh? You were here. So they stay back. There are people that God is calling out of a place of work. He wants to bring them into a bigger place. But fear that you are going to starve. Fear can lead. Fear is a terrible leader. But God wants you to be led by the Spirit. He said, for as many that are led, he says, they are the sons of God. We are supposed to be led by God. We are supposed to be led by God. That is, God is interested as his children to lead you. He doesn't want you to be led by your senses, your five senses. Your eyes, what you can hear, what you can see, what you can feel. God doesn't want you to be led by that. He wants you to be led by his spirit. God doesn't want you to be led by popular opinion. People can be led by popular opinion. Most believers are led by popular opinion. Very few believers will yield to God's minor opinion as against majority opinion. If they say, this is what is happening now, this is what everybody is doing now, this is where everybody is going now, everybody go there, majority of people will flow with the majority people. We're going to start church because we're not going to be led by statistics. God doesn't want to be led by facts. God doesn't want to be led by fear, by any of such. He wants to be led by You must make a commitment that I refuse to be led by my senses. I choose to be led by the Spirit. God doesn't want to be led by your intellect, by your head. God doesn't want to be led by your emotions. Emotions can lead you. Hey, you see, I feel strong about it, but you could be very wrong about it. Your emotions can be very real, but it's very wrong. We can be led by our senses. We can be led by statistics. This is what everybody is doing. You could be led by facts. You could be led by logic. You could be led by reasoning. God doesn't want you led by all that. We're going to start church. Statistics said if you want to start church, a young church, you should start church in the midst of people. You should start church in a residential area. So when you have now gathered people, you will now move to another place. But don't start church in a place where nobody's living. Why would you start church in a place where nobody's living? Statistics will teach you that. Church administrators, one of my friends, an American trained church administrator, came to me. He said, Philip, you are making a very wrong decision. Don't start church in town. Start church in Dawaki. Start church in area one, you know, where people are living. Start church close to people's houses. So that people can just walk from their homes, 2-3 houses into your church. Start church where human beings are living. But I felt led to start church where nobody was living. So we started SLC where nobody was living. We have not done evangelism once in this church as a corporate evangelism because there's no house to go to. Are you following my point? Are you following my point? When we're in Roseboard, 5 kilometers to church, no houses. It was a commercial corporate by weekend, everywhere was deserted. How do you start church in a place where nobody's living? So I could have been led by statistics. I could have been led by feasibility results or feasibility reports that this is what your mates and your parents and your fathers, people that did it before you did it, because God doesn't want you led by experience. One of the reasons why God took away Moses before he called Joshua is that if Moses was there when God called Joshua, when Joshua was met with River Jordan, Moses would have said, now that you are faced with River Jordan, go get yourself a rod. Why did Moses say that? When it was Moses' turn, he used the rod. Are you following my point? And that was an instruction that God gave to Moses. But what God instructed your father is not what he's instructing you. You can't be led by the experience of the fathers, even though you can be led by their counsel. You cannot seek guidance from the experience. The experience is not the best teacher. The Holy Ghost is. I said that over and over. We can be led by statistics. You can be led by emotions. You can't allow yourself to get married to people by emotions. If you allow yourself to be led by emotions, you are going to be misled. Don't marry that lady because she's crying. No. She's going to be all right. Trust me. Don't make a permanent decision on an emotion. I know that guy has been spending on you. I know. It's not good. You should have collected his money. Now that your sense has corrected, don't marry him because you don't want him to feel hurt. Don't marry on emotions. Listen to me. There's much more in life decisions than emotions. In the book of John chapter 11. Jesus was going to go heal Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 3. Yes.
Saying,
Lord,
behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.
Him who you love is sick. Continue.
When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death.
This sickness is not unto death.
But for the glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified.
That the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Yes.
Now Jesus loved Martha.
So Jesus loved Martha
and her sister.
And Lazarus so much. When he heard therefore that he was sick,
for 2 days still
he stayed there for 2 days.
Wait.
Martha says, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. You know when they say that to you, what does that mean? You have to do what? You have to start coming now. You have to make a decision. When? So why did they say Lazarus, whom you love? Does he have three Lazarus? How many Lazarus was in the life of Jesus? Only one Lazarus. But they say Lazarus, whom you love. You see, so they are tying him down on his emotions. They would have guilt-tripped him if he didn't come. Some of us are making decisions because somebody is guilt-tripping us. Somebody is gaslighting us. Jesus said when he heard, what did Jesus Christ do? He stayed there. Because Jesus would not be led by emotions. The Bible said that he loves Mary, or he loves Martha, or no doubt, but he stayed there 2 days. What does he say next? Help me.
Then after that, he said to his disciples,
yes,
let us go into Judea again.
Let us go into Judea again.
His disciples said unto him,
yes,
Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee.
Yes.
And goest thou thither again?
So they said, these people in these Jews wants to stone you. Will you now go again? So there are two emotions here, emotions of love and emotions of fear. Jesus could have stayed back from going to that place because he was afraid. But Jesus is not emotion-led. Jesus is spirit-led. Jesus is not need-led. You see, Jesus does not make decisions because there's a need. Jesus does not do anything based on need. He does it based on the Spirit. When God spoke to Abraham to leave his father's house and leave everything, and he took Lot with him against the instructions of God, that was being led by a need. Because it is only responsible for Abraham, knowing fully well that the father of Lot had died. Are you following me? Everyone would have said Abraham is insensitive. And the fear of being called insensitive is the reason why some of us are making some decisions we are making. Don't be afraid of being called insensitive. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, 1 verse 10, it says, if I seek to please men, then I cannot be the servant of Christ. So Abraham took Lot with him. And the life of Lot was destroyed. Do you know that it would have been better for us not to even hear about Lot at all in scriptures? They could not say anything reasonable like this about Lot. Lot never built an altar. There is no place in scriptures where Lot prayed. And Lot was praying. No place. Imagine someone living with Abraham. Even the servant of Abraham knew how to pray. How much more his own nephew? He ended up in Sodom. Ended up impregnating his daughters. How many of you sincerely think that maybe the life of Lot would have been better if they left him in the awe of Chaldeans? Maybe his life would have been more reasonable. Jesus is not need-led. Jesus is not opportunity-led. In Mark chapter 1, verse 33, Mark chapter 1, 33, read down to 38, do more. Mark chapter 1, verse 33, down to 38, what does it say?
And all the city was gathered together at the door.
Yes.
And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases.
Yes.
And cast out many devils.
Yes.
And suffered not the devils to speak.
Yes.
Because they knew him.
Yes.
And in the morning, rising up a great while before day,
yes,
he went out and departed into a solitary place,
yes,
and there prayed,
yes,
and Simon and they that were with him followed after him,
yes,
and when they had found him,
yes,
they said unto him,
yes,
all men seek,
yes,
and he said unto them,
he said to them,
let us go into the
let us go to other places, because he was coming from the place of prayer. When he came out, everyone told him, sir, your followers are increasing right now. The last post you made on IG, it was able to gather enough traffic. I think we should begin to make such kind of what? Posts. Jesus says, let us make other posts. There was an opportunity right before him. Clear opportunity. But Jesus is not opportunity led. You see, the Bible says that we are the sons of God. We are led by the Spirit. We are not led by opportunity. If you know the devil very well, and please, I'm teaching you tonight because it takes a lot of discipline to do this. It takes a lot of maturity to do this. It takes a lot of maturity in the spirit to see an opportunity that is glaringly looking at you and saying, Lord, is this what you're saying? Because we are not led by open doors. Some open doors are open prison. When you enter, they shut and they don't open again. Jesus is not opportunity driven. Satan leads by fear and he leads by opportunity. If Satan wants you to leave a place and you don't leave, because he paints a lot of fear that if you leave here, this will happen, and you don't leave, he wants you to stay in that place. He can open an opportunity for you there. For instance, when I was going to leave my place of work, God had begun to speak to me to go into ministry fully, and I was supposed to resign. As I begin to ponder on resigning, of course, there will always be fear about how you're going to survive. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Fear, are you going to feed your family? Are you going to take care of yourself? But I know the Lord had called me. I had got to a point where I knew, Kai, I need to leave this place. There was this inner dissatisfaction in me. And don't ignore that dissatisfaction in you. Don't ignore. You see, when you are getting dissatisfied, that troubling in your spirit, that this is not where I should be, don't ignore it. Don't ignore your pain. Don't ignore your pain. Pain is a blessing. That is why if you use painkillers, listen to me, painkillers don't cure the problem. Painkillers stop your brain from communicating the pain. It is God that gave you pain so that you can know that something is wrong. If people don't have pain, the people would have fallen dead on the road because they wouldn't know that something is wrong with their system. If you have an headache, the problem is not with your head. Your pain, the pain in your head is an indicator of a problem in your body. Don't ignore the dissatisfaction in your spirit. Pain is a blessing. Pain is a blessing. That dissatisfaction in your heart, not the dissatisfaction that you got because you went to see your friend's post on IGO. You not say I'm dissatisfied. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an inner dissatisfaction that begun in your heart. That is God speaking. God wants you to know that this, your life, could be more than this. That was what happened to Penina and Anna. I say it all the time, that Samuel was not God's gift to Anna. Samuel was God's gift to Israel. God's gift to Anna was Penina. You see, it was Penina that constantly reminded Anna that she needed a child of her own. Every time Anna sent Penina's children on errand, Penina would say, please, I'm not the one that said you should be barren. I'm not the one that took your womb. Cry to your God. So as she constantly was a pain in her neck, she drove her to pray. I said, Penina means pain in Anna. Penina. It was God's blessing. So that dissatisfaction should not be ignored. That's God speaking. That's God steering your heart. That's God telling you your life could be more. Your life could be better. What were we reading? Help me. So he said, let's go to what? Other cities. Let's not stay here. Let's not sit down here. Even though there's an opportunity here, Jesus would not allow himself to be led. He would ask God, is this what you want for me? So when I told my boss, before I told I was going to go, as I was pondering on leaving, you know what happened in my office? My boss just created a system and said she was going to double my salary. I had not told her I was going. Listen to me, the devil does not have two horns. The devil does not come with a fork and a tail. The devil knows what you want. He comes exactly with what you want. That's real temptation. What's a real temptation? Now, I wanted to leave my office to start ministry. Why was it when I said I was going to leave? When Satan already, tried to brandish before me that I'm going to suffer, my children will be sent out of school, and I say, no, in spite of that, I'm going to follow the Lord. And I say, okay now. So my boss just comes and say one day, please come. Ulubakin, I've been looking at your work and I think it's time. I'm going to double your salary. I'm not only going to double your salary, I'm going to start paying your house rent. I'm not just going to pay your house rent, I'm going to pay your children's school fees. So it's a temptation. But we are not led by opportunities. How was my salary then? My salary was maybe 85,000 or something. Obum is here. Obum is my, where's Obum? Where is he dead? Where's Obum? Obum here. Who's my former colleague? My salary was about 85,000. Maybe they would have increased it to 160,000 then. So how much is 160,000 going to do for me now? Can you rate what I'm doing now in destiny? Can you calculate the weight of what I'm doing now? The lives of those that have been blessed with 160,000 naira per month. God sees farther than you see. The strategy of Satan is to offer you what God wants to offer you and much, much more. It's to offer you the will of God, but not the way of God. There's nothing Satan has. Everything he wants to offer you is what God already has offered you in his promise. Jesus is not led by experience. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. NLT, give me. Matthew 16, verse 15. Quickly. Matthew 16, verse 15. We're going to read down to verse 23. So help me with NLT. Help me do more. Then he asked them, who do you say I am? Matthew 16, 20, 15. Everybody continue. What does it say next?
Simon Peter answered. You are the Messiah.
You are the Messiah.
The Son of the Living God.
Continue. Verse 23. Yes.
Jesus replied. You are blessed, Simon, son of God.
Yes.
Because my Father in heaven has revealed
it. It was my Father that revealed this to you. Yes.
You did not learn this from any human.
You did not learn this from. Yes.
Now I say to you that you are Peter.
Yes.
Which means rock.
Yes.
And upon this rock I will build my church.
Yes.
And all the powers of hell will not conquer it.
Yes.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden.
Yes.
And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven.
Yes.
Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
So look at that. You see the kind of powerful experience that was. So he says, "Kai, Peter, it was my Father that told you this." He said, "Because of this, I'm handing over to you the keys of heaven and earth." You can see that kind of experience, that kind of powerful atmosphere. I would have said, "Kai, Peter's friend would have said, "Kai, Peter, you are the main man now. You are now hearing directly from what? From God." What does he say next? Help me.
Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Yes.
From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem.
Yes.
And that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders.
Yes.
The leading priests and the teachers of the religious law.
Yes.
He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from dead.
Yes.
But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him.
Yes.
For saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this would never happen to you."
Yes.
Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan.
Yes.
You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God."
So Jesus did not let the past experience validate the current experience. The fact that Peter had spoken out of the Spirit does not mean he will continually be in the Spirit. Listen to me. You must be connected to the Spirit of God. And that's why it's dangerous to follow men. Now, if Jesus affirmed that Peter was speaking out of the Spirit of God and says, "This is God speaking through you," and in the next few verses he said, "This is Satan speaking through you," it's because Jesus Christ knew and was connected to the Father. The fact that somebody God handed over someone to you does not mean that one person cannot be used of Satan. Please follow me closely. Sometimes it is not even Satan as in Satan. It could be flesh. Now, for instance, I say this all the time. If Dada comes to me and says, "Pastor, you are my spiritual father," but I hear the Lord saying to me, "Son, it's time to go to Iraq to be a missionary." If he told me that, the fatherly instinct in me would say, "Kai," I would say, "Have you prayed?" Now, if he says the Lord had told him to go to Canada, I may not react like that. And I say, "Wow, that may be a good opportunity for us to have ourselves in Canada after all." But because of my knowledge of where he's going, like Peter, I might switch from the spirit into the flesh. You see, it doesn't take, it's a switch. People can talk in the spirit now and be in the flesh now. People can be in the spirit now and be in the flesh. It's just like one step off. And that's why you cannot be led by human flesh. Let me let you know that your husband can mislead you. Your wife can be the person that God handed. You receive this sister from the Lord. A person that you receive from the Lord can make you sin. It was God that handed Eve to Adam like this. Before Eve came to Adam's life, we did not even know that there was a Satan in that garden. We just thought that it was an ordinary snake. Only God knows how many years that Adam had been in that garden without Eve. Maybe 200 years, maybe 100 years, maybe 5 years, maybe 1 year, I don't know. But as long as Adam was alone, there was no Satan or expression of Satan. Then Eve came into the picture, and Eve, who God gave to Adam led Adam to sin. And that is why you must be fully twinned with the Holy Ghost. You can't be led by emotions. You see, Satan had observed Adam and Eve, and he knew that Adam would not listen to Satan, but Adam would listen to Eve. In ministry, you cannot be led by emotions. When it comes to your life assignment, you can't be led by emotions. I can't be led by emotions. There are people that I've put in places in this church or offices that I would never put them there if I use my instinct. That it was by the Holy Ghost. Who led Jesus to choose Peter as a disciple? Eh? Is it the Holy Ghost? Is it the Holy Ghost? How many of you agree with me that Jesus Christ would not have chosen Peter if the Holy Ghost did not lead him to do so? The same Peter that the Holy Ghost said choose, said you will not go to do what the Holy Ghost says you will do. Imagine if Peter, Jesus Christ said, ah, since it was the Holy Ghost that led me to choose you, anything you say, it must be the Holy Ghost. You would have missed it. You must know how to sieve quickly if this is the spirit or the flesh. Jesus did not allow experience, past experience, to lead him. Jesus did not allow past emotions to lead him. Jesus Christ decided in his own heart that he would be spirit-led completely for the rest of his life. Let me quickly rush. The errors to avoid. Errors to avoid. I'm just going to stop here because of my time. I want to finish service by 8 o'clock. Errors to avoid. Number one, don't insist that God must lead you in a particular way. Don't insist that this must be the way that God will lead me. If you insist that God must lead you in a particular way, and because he leads you as he wills, you have a tendency to miss him if he's leading you. If you insist that you must be led in a particular way, you have a tendency to be misled. God can lead you by any way within the boundaries of the world. Sometimes when I'm praying and I'm believing God for leadership, he can show me a vision. He can speak to me by his word. He can even speak to me by what somebody is saying. I've been in a conversation with people and somebody will just say something just casually and my spirit will pick it because I've been praying over that matter. There are times I've gotten the theme of a program, like I told you the theme of Wind of the Spirit this year. I caught it as we were talking with some of our people in Lagos. We went for Bafo in Lagos. I've been praying, Lord, what's the theme of Wind of Spirit? As we came down to pray, we started praying. One of the sisters who was leading us to pray, she kept saying one word. She said like four times, God says that's the thing. And I've been praying. What I did not hear in my spirit, in my prayer place, in a vision, I had in a corporate place. Because I didn't insist that God should show me or tell me something in a particular way. Don't insist on seeing visions. Don't insist on seeing angels. All this generation of portal. You are going to open portal that you are not going to come out from. Are you following my point? All this deep river, go deeper. You are going to enter Titanic. I'm telling you, the tendency of a generation to have out of the body experiences. See, some people say they saw angels. I'm not saying that people are not seeing angels, and I've seen angels once. And I don't pray to see them again. And I'm not saying that people are not seeing cherubims and seraphims. I'm not saying all of those things. People truly may be having those experiences, but don't desire it enough to insist on it. Don't desire for unnatural experiences with God. The word of God is a deep river enough for you to swim in. Don't let the desire for more than we are seeing push you into witchcraft, push you into demonic invasion. People have run mad. Go to psychiatrists, you see a lot of them with Bible there. Some of those mad people are quoting scriptures because they began to tamper with things they don't understand. They are into portals. I'm not saying they are no portal. Be careful the portal you are opening. I am telling you the truth. I've been invited to useless meetings like that before. My wife and I were going when the one guy came and said, Bro Philip, some people are in papi right now. He said, "Bro Philip, do you know that people are levitating?" I said, "Levitating?" I said, "What's that?" Say, "People that as they are praying, they are levitating. That people are hungry for God. People are hungry for God. That even his wife, her hand began to grow." I said, "To what extent? For what? For what? To what? Why are you levitating? What does that add to the gospel? Where are the souls that are won? Because you are levitating. What are you doing?" He said, "You know, Philip disappeared." I said, "Did Philip open a school of disappearance?" I said, "Well, we and sis have disappeared. Now this is the school of ministry of disappearance. If you want to disappear, come, let's teach you how to." Was there a ministry channel where people are being led out to disappear? Did Philip even pray to disappear? These are supernatural occurrences that God did as he wills. Don't allow people's, you know, unusual or natural desire lead you to demonic experiences. Satan is the god of this world. If you insist on seeing Jesus, you will see him. You will see Jesus. I'm telling the truth. If you insist on these things, you are going to see it one day. People have run, people have fasted, and then they open the door. You see, the spiritual realm is open both to the spirit of God and to satanic spirits. Stay in the word, stay in the word, stay in the word. Don't insist on anything. When we're on campus, very funny story. Some fellows start taking strings. Obafemi Awolowo University. You know those universities. I don't know how they do those universities today. But those ways to be very hungry for God. But Billy said there was a time some of them gathered themselves together and they began to jump. That this is how God will catch them on the day of rapture. So they went on jumping exercises. And then they were jumping that, "Hey, brother, you cannot jump. When the angel comes, will you be able to lift you like this?" So these fellows, one of them said, he heard that God was waiting for them in Mount Zion. And that they should begin to go to the Mount Zion, the city of David. And they trekked into the bush for days. Google it, it's on Google, it's on news. They trekked. No food, no water. These are students. Their parents could not reach them. Their lecturers could not reach them. They had to send a team of vigilantes. Where are they? People say, "We saw them enter this bush." By the time they found them, they were worn out. They were burnt out, tired, gasping for breath. The school suspended all of them. That this is an institution of learning. Go to your house. Don't come and cause problems for us here. You came here to study. Don't insist. If God, you see, the leadership of God is simple. The leadership of the Holy Spirit is simple. Don't insist on anything unnatural. Don't insist on a way. God can choose. You see, God has spoken to me through audible voice before. I've heard his voice before. I've seen visions before. But I don't insist. Number two, avoid, I'm going to end with this. My time is gone. Avoid circumstantial leading. Number one, don't insist on God leading in a particular way. Number two, avoid circumstantial leading. God, if you want me to do this, let rain fall. God, if that's the man for me, let him wear white to church today. God, if that's the woman you want me to marry, let her wear a pink dress to church today. Don't allow yourself to be led externally. The Bible says there's a spirit in man. Someone say in man. God has put his Holy Spirit in you. Don't allow yourself to be externally led. Sometimes you can get in circumstances that don't look favorable, but God has said, go there. If you allow yourself to be led externally or circumstantially, you're not going to go. It was Gideon that did that in the book of Judges. I think Judges chapter 6. He put out a fleece. He said, "God, if you want me to help Israel, let this fleece be wet and let the ground be dry." And he woke up the next morning, the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. He says, Lord, that's not enough. Tomorrow, if you really want me to, because the mouth of two fleeces. So tomorrow, let the fleece be wet, the dry, and let the ground be wet. And God did that. Say, but Gideon is not born again. Gideon was not born again. Gideon did not have the Holy Ghost living in him. Don't allow yourself to be led by circumstances. I don't know how to emphasize this enough, because people do it all the time. It might not be as overt as I explained, but people do it all the time. People allow whether something is going to work or not work, lead them to do it or not do it. Whether something looks as if it's working, sometimes God says go to the other side and there's a storm. And that storm rises against you, and the wind is contrary. The most natural thing to do is to turn back. So if you allow this event or this external circumstance lead you, you're going to turn back from God's instruction. Sometimes God can tell you to go ahead and it looks difficult. God doesn't want you doing kalu. The apostles did it in Acts chapter 2, when they replaced Judas with what's the name of that guy? Matthias. Have you know that story? Well, so they casted lots. And if you notice it, nothing reasonable was said about Matthias throughout scripture. Nothing. Because they are the one casting lots. That is a lot to God. Just like lots. Did you ever see them do that again after that? No, because that's not the way to do it. Don't do like that. Don't say, God, if it is this, then let this happen. If it is that, then let this happen. If it's going to do that, then let me do. No, don't do that. You have to be able to receive a word from God. And in the midst of even the harshest difficulties, you have to keep going. I've told you my story over and over. There were times, even the pastor in this church, we've been in places where we thought we should give up. But God says, go. When God says, go, we kept going. If you allow yourself to be led by external factors, Satan will be able to easily manipulate. Satan is the God of this world. It's when I even talk about visions or external visitations. If it is far easier for Satan to mislead you by a vision than he can mislead you by the word of God. If you see now, some of us, if you see Jesus now, our hearts will just freeze. And there are some sermons that you listen to, you hear them say a lot about how they saw Jesus. I saw Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. And you allow people's experience to intimidate you. Now you begin to feel that you are a lower Christian because you have not seen Jesus. You are going to see him on the last day. You are going to see him. He says on that day, all eyes will see him. You are going to see him. Don't allow anybody's dramatic experience undermine your own experience with God. Don't allow what somebody is saying that they did, they saw, they said. Don't allow it to happen. Jesus, when he comes, he will speak of the word. He will not say anything that he has not written down. Are you following me? If Jesus should come to this place now and enters, and the crown is still on his head, crown of thorns, and his palm is still dripping blood. Ah, this is Jesus. I says, yes, don't you know? Can't you see the blood flowing through my palms? Ah, I say, Lord Jesus, I worship you. And if he tells me something, I say, wow, that's fantastic, Jesus. Can you please show me in the Bible that thing that you just said now? If he says, we are way past the Bible now. We are operating at a deeper level. You see me here, I'm still quoting Bible. I'll say, devil, you are devil. But if it's Jesus, you say, sweetheart, how many scriptures do you want? I'll say, give me two. He says, I'll give you four. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He would always refer you back to the word. Don't allow external circumstance. Don't allow things going on around you. Don't allow it mislead you. Don't allow anybody undermine your voice. That's one thing I have to even let you know. Because our generation is filled with drama. Don't allow anybody's experience undermine your experience with God. If somebody told you, how did you accept Jesus? Look at the way Paul accepted Jesus. What's the name of this woman? This Lydia. You know Lydia in scriptures? I don't even know Lydia. Acts chapter 19 or Acts chapter 18. Lydia. If you ask Saul, how did you accept Jesus into your life? Saul said, my God, my God, my God. When I was going to Damascus, a light shone from above, knocked me off my horse, blinded my eyes. I could not see for 3 days. See, hey, Jesus. You never see anything. As I sat down praying, not eating for 3 days, I saw even that was blind yet seeing. I saw Ananias. Ah. You say this people will give their life to Christ. Oh. But if you ask Lydia in the same act, Sister Lydia, how did you give your life to Christ? Ah, we are by the poolside, and Brother Paul was speaking, and I felt a gentle breeze. I knew that the Lord has come into my heart and accept him as our Lord and Savior. That's Lydia's salvation. Does not in any way, it is not in any way inferior to that dramatic salvation. Some people that say they received sisters on campus in those days that we used to receive sisters. Sisters. People receive sisters. When my pastor asked me, because when I was going to receive this, my sister. Do you know how I receive her? I'll teach you that next week. I call it inner witness. Inner witness. Lord, thank you, Jesus. That's her. Thank you, Jesus. Peace. God is a God. You see, when he says those that are led by the Spirit, my time is coming. When he says those that are led, he didn't mean you say anything. You can be led without words. That's why you can lead people on. God can lead you. Can do like this. You know the green light doesn't say anything. He's a leader. So when I felt this peace in my heart, I went and told my sweetheart, I want to marry you. When my pastor asked me, how can you see a sister within 2 weeks and say she's your wife? I said, yes, I know. How can you know? What did the Lord say? I said, the Lord did not say anything. He said, yay! Brother, so and so. Do you know the meaning of marriage? Do you know what we are talking about? Do you know that brother so-and-so waited for 9 months before the Lord spoke to him? Do you know that sister so-and-so waited and fasted for 1.5 years? And they were seeking the face of God. I said, I don't know how the face of God now got lost. That they are seeking it. The Bible says, before I speak, you answer. I knew in my heart. But if you ask some brothers, if they tell you how they dramatically received their sister, they said they were praying and there was a letter that dropped from heaven. As they were in that vision. And as the letter was coming, angels were ascending and descending on the road. They picked up the letter and opened it, and behold, it was Sister Sade's name that was there. And as they mentioned it, Sister Sade, she appeared. Over 95% of those relationships did not last campus. The leadership of the Holy Spirit is very simple. Next week, I'm going to start with inner witness. We're going to talk about inner voice, audible voice, visions, and dreams, and how that God can lead you through dreams. All that we're going to begin next week. But I want you to never forget two errors you have to avoid. Number one, you have to avoid your insistence on a method. That God must lead you by a method. And you have to avoid your insistence on supernatural or spectacular, let me use that word, spectacular occurrences, angelic visitations. Angel must appear. I have seen angel before, and I don't want to see them again. People that used to see angel every day, I respect them. Some people can say they sat down, you know, and they were eating popcorn, and an angel came and said, oh, angel, so that's you there. That's a lie. Check through our scriptures. Everyone that saw an angel, the angel will say, fear not. fear not. If you want to know how some of those angels look like, go and read the Revelations. You think there are people with wings? Some of them with head of one lion, head of one dragon, head of some of them 6 legs, 6 wings. They have 2. You will know. Everybody angel appeared to him. Even Peter, he said, fear not. Fear not. He's a fiery thing. They say they are your ministry spirit. That's why it's better not to see them. That's why you can send them. If you see them, you are not going to send them anything. You are not going to send them. You are not going to ask them to do anything for you. Say, angels are my ministry. I send you. Because you can't see them. Just be sending them like that. If they appear to you once. And there are people that see them. I've heard of people that have seen them over and over. And maybe they have gotten used to them. They have maybe I've not got it. But listen to me. Anything deeper. Anything deeper than the word of God is too deep for you. Anything deeper than the word of God is too deep. It's a deep water. You may drown. Stay in the word. Rise on your feet and begin to pray. My voice is all ahead.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.